one day.
A blessed good Sunday morning to all of you who have taken the time to tune in to this another broadcast entitled Because He Lives, presented by the Church of the Nazarene Barbados District and faithfully sponsored by our good friends at Federal Motor Spares Bank Hall St. Michael. We continue to thank God for their commitment to sponsorship and pray God's continual blessings and favor on every aspect of their business and their family life. We encourage you, fellow Nazarenes, to patronize this business for your mortar needs. Let us pray. Father, we are so grateful to you for this opportunity. We are thankful for the technology that our voices can be heard from the length and breadth of Barbados and beyond. We thank you for the opportunity to minister, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that today, in some special way, some person who you have ordained to hear this word will position themselves to hear from you. And even us as believers, as we position ourselves, Lord, may we hear from you in a special way today. May the message that be broadcast today would change lives. May it be a turn and a wrong point for someone today, we pray. And we give you thanks. We pray for the presenter. And I pray for a fresh anointing as he should present your word. This is our prayer today. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving we pray. Amen and amen. My name is Jennifer Graves. And it is my pleasure to facilitate this broadcast today. But before I introduce our presenter, I will need to share some announcements with you. In the meantime, I encourage you to call a friend and invite them to tune in now. Sometimes we're having conversations about the previous broadcasts, and sometimes persons don't know what you're talking about. Only recently had to get a podcast to forward to someone. Call a friend today. Call a brother or sister. Call right now and invite them to tune in to Life 97.5. Today could be the turning point in their lives. Today, they could receive the answer to something that has been troubling them. Today could be the day. Now for our announcements. Today, Sunday the 12th, our quarterly service convenes at 9:30 a.m. at the Columa Rock Church of the Nazarene. We're still experiencing some summer temperatures, so we're encouraging you to wear your zonal colored polo or t-shirts. I know when you hear t-shirts, you go casual, but we're inviting you to be elegantly casual for this quarterly service and kindly wear your centennial badges. This Eversley Foundation, their fundraising luncheon is going to be held on the 26th of October, Sunday, at the Lloyd Erskine Sandiford Center. I believe that tickets are available from your pastors at your respective churches. But just in case you're going to be at quarterly today and you didn't purchase your ticket, a representative will be available for you to purchase your ticket. Thank you. During the month of October, in the Church of the Nazarene, we celebrate our laity. These are the voices of ministers that you probably wouldn't hear every Sunday, but they are ministers who support the work of the individual church and the Church of the Nazarene District. Last week, we heard from Minister Maureen Carrington from the Hillaby Church. And today, you will have the pleasure of hearing from another minister hailing from our church at Ruby in St. Philip. He is the husband of one wife and father of four, an accountant by profession, and most of all, a man of God. Listeners, it is my pleasure to introduce to you today, Minister Sean Griffith. God bless you, Sean, as you share the word. Over to you, Sean.
Thank you, Jennifer. It is indeed a pleasure to be here this morning to present a word on God's behalf. I thank God for the opportunity. I thank Starcom for the opportunity to present this word, and I pray by God's grace this word would go forth and touch lives in this nation and beyond, and truly bring peace to the land. This morning, this message is entitled, There is Rest in Jesus. We are presently living in a world where there seems to be all kinds of unrest. All kinds of things are going on. People economically are crying out. There are many wars. There's a lot of uncertainty. And doctors are talking about the varying diseases. And they pointed out that a lot of people, their mental health is strained as they struggle with the cares of life and the troubles that they are going through. And they're wondering what is the solution. This morning, I'm here to tell you what we are going through is not altogether unique. It is not altogether new. But the solution is the same. My message this morning comes from Matthew chapter 11, from verse 25 to 30. And I believe it is a familiar passage for many in this nation who have come up in church. And it says, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is a discourse that Jesus was having with a multitude. It comes directly after John's disciples, when he was becoming disillusioned as to whether Jesus was truly the Messiah that he had prophesied about and had acted as a forerunner for in his time of imprisonment. And Jesus pointed out to John's disciples the things that they had seen him done, what was being done. People were being healed. The gospel was going forth, and it was the assurance that John needed. But now he is talking to a crowd after John's disciples have gone back to relay the message of assurance. Ironically, it comes after he had also given a rebuke to a couple cities where his greatest miracles had been done, but they had not turned to him. They had not repented, and he pointed out to them that if the miracles that were done in those cities had been done to Sodom and Gomorrah, Sodom and Gomorrah would have repented. And so it was a strong rebuke. But our God is a God that even in the midst of rebuke, he brings hope and he brings comfort. Because after this rebuke, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He has already made it clear with the verses before that everything has been handed over to him by the Father. There are those that will debate and wonder if Jesus is God. But he makes it clear that everything that the Father has is his. And he makes the statement that the only one that knows the Father is the Son. And the one to whom the Son seeks to reveal the Father. Many of us have come up religious. We have come up and we know there is a God. And we refer to him as the Father. And we want to get to the Father. And there are those that will say there are many ways to get to the Father. Some will say there are many ways to get to heaven. But Jesus himself emphatically makes it clear. The only one that knows the Father is the Son. And I would add in there the Holy Spirit. But then he says, the one to whom he reveals it. That means us people will know the Father. So the only way to get to the Father is through the Son and by the Holy Spirit. There is no other way. It may be controversial for some to hear, but it's a biblical truth. And Jesus makes it very clear. He says, the one to whom he reveals it. That may sound as though he is saying there's only certain people he will reveal it. But in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, the apostle makes it clear that it's God's will that none shall perish. All will come to repentance. So it's a universal will of the Son that all will come. And so we come to the important invitation. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, the audience to whom he was speaking were Jews under the oppression of the Pharisees. The Pharisees may have started out meaning well, they were the gatekeepers, if you would want to call them, of the law. And they were the ones tasked with administering and enforcing the law. Israel was a theocracy. There was no separation of state and religion. And so the Old Testament, the Torah, was what governed the land. But the Pharisees, in their zeal and their desire to look better than they were, had added around 600 new laws on top of the law of Moses on the people. A lot of it surrounding the Sabbath. So even the Sabbath that was supposed to be a day of rest given by God had now become a tedious thing. And these people are trying to live right. These people are trying to please God. They're trying to get to the Father by works. But it was impossible, especially with these 600 additional laws, many of them petty, that had been foisted upon them by the Pharisees. And so the people are walking around with a burden. And so Jesus comes and he says, come unto me. He is making a contrast between him and the religious teachers at the time. He is saying, I am different. And he is inviting all that labor and are heavy laden. Those that were walking with the cares of the world. Those that their backs were breaking under the laws that have been put upon them. That was proven to be hard to carry. In Matthew, he points out that the Pharisees would not even lift a finger to help those under which they had placed this heavy load. The imagery here is one of a beast of burden, where they had a yoke around their necks and the very packs and sacks and that they needed, and the plow that they were used to plow the ground was two sets of oxen were put together by this band of wood around their necks, and it would keep them in check, and they would plow the ground while they would walk with their burden. But as we all know, as strong as an ox is, if you overload it, it will collapse under the weight. And so this is the imagery that is being used here of a people that, like the yoke of oxen, are being burdened, and they have this yoke around their neck, and the system at the time is doing nothing to help them. They are oppressed. They're in trouble. There were many diseases. The people were sick. There was no relief for not only their physical, but for their souls. Because when we are in anguish, physically, mentally, it's our souls that are ultimately tormented. But our souls are also tormented by sin. Because sin has brought shame and guilt into the world. And so we walk with the burdens of sin. And the religious system at the time could not even do anything to alleviate that. As I've said before, the additional laws even made it harder. for them to walk. And so in comes Jesus. And his statement is in keeping with something that he had said before, because Jesus had been predicted about all throughout the Old Testament. But Isaiah prophesied about him quite a lot. And so when Jesus, a young man, goes into the temple on the Sabbath, he goes and he picks up the Torah and he reads from a specific passage. And this is found in Luke chapter 4, 16 to 21. I will read what he says. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." He said, then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." These were the words that were prophesied that was going to happen when the Messiah comes. He was going to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And that is the same message that Jesus gave to John's disciples as proof that he was this Messiah, because these things were happening now that Jesus was on the earth. And so in saying, "Come to me, those who labor and are heavy laden," he was fulfilling the prophecy. He was fulfilling his mandate. And so he makes this invitation to those that had been oppressed by the religious system that was bringing no relief for the souls of the people. He makes a bold claim. He said, "I will give you rest." They can't give you no rest. They give you additional burden. But if you come to me, you will find rest for your souls. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Or I may say, hold on. You have a yoke too? Yes, he does. You see, the problem is we are slaves to something one way or the other. We may think we are not. There are many that talk about the words that are bandied about is free thinkers and all of this. And I'm no slave to no man. No, you are. You are a slave to something. That which you give your all to becomes your master. The problem is the master to whom you have yoked yourself giving you rest. It's the one, the thing, the religion that you have yoked yourself to. Is it giving you rest? Or is it adding to your burden? Are you finding yourself like these that Jesus would have addressed, working and working and working, seeking to be closer to God, trying and trying and trying, and don't matter how you try, you seem further and further away. Your guilt has not been removed. Your shame has not been removed. It is still there. No matter how many confessions, no matter, it is still there. Jesus says, "Take up my yoke. I have a yoke. I want you to take it. Learn from me. I'm going to teach you a new way. I am teaching you something different to the rabbis of the day. I am teaching you something other than the world system is teaching you. You're going to learn something new. I am here to teach you a new way." Paul speaks of being transformed by the renewing of our mind. You see, when we come to Jesus, a renewal of our mind takes place. He teaches us a new way of living, and it brings a transformation of our lives. You can ask the countless people that have turned to Jesus, who were heavy laden, who labored and who came to Jesus, and they will tell you they have found rest for their souls. And so he says, take my yoke. He says, I am gentle and lowly in heart. I am gentle and lowly in heart. There was direct contrast to the Pharisees that were harsh and haughty and arrogant. They walked around, made sure that everyone gave them the special seat in the synagogue. And when they walked in the marketplace, they made sure that everybody paid them homage. They were arrogant and harsh with it. But Jesus is saying, I am gentle. I am gentle and I am humble. This Jesus, the Son of God, sat down and washed the feet of his disciples. He was not too proud to wash his feet. And at the time when Peter said, not you, you are a rabbi, you are the Son of God, you cannot wash my feet. He made it clear to Peter, if I do not wash you, you have no part of me. You see, the process that brought us to God caused for Jesus to be humble. Humble even to the cross, because that is a mechanism used to draw us to the Father, to make the way that we could come to the Father. And he was humble to go to the cross. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it points out that he who knew no sin became sin for us. And because of this, we have his righteousness, and it is through this that we are able to cast our cares upon him and find rest for our soul. So we have a master who is gentle and humble to the point of going to the cross for our sins. He says you will find rest for your souls. It is true. I can't tell you that life will not still happen, but I can tell you, having walked with Jesus for the better part of 30-something years, I have found rest for my soul. I have found that I can go to Christ even in the midst of trials, in the midst of hardship at times, and there is rest. There is a peace that comes unlike any other. And I know, because I tried other ways before in my youth, and I found there was no satisfaction. So when he says you will find rest for your soul, it is true. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, the yoke that Jesus gives will be easy because, unlike the Pharisees who did not lay a hand to help the people with their burden, Jesus carries the load. That is why he says, cast your cares upon him, because he cares for you. He carries the load. So the yoke that he in turn gives to follow his command, John says, his commands are not burdensome. The Pharisees' commands were. But his is not burdensome. And yet he expects you to carry out his commands. But because he has given you not only his blood and his righteousness, but the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you, God himself helps to carry the burden and allows you and makes it easy for you to carry out his commands. And what are his commands? To love the Lord with all thy heart and all thy mind and all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. We shall all be able to do these commands. Yet many of us find it hard to do. But with Christ, Christ allows you to love your neighbor, even a neighbor that you really don't like at times. He allows you to do this. This morning, I don't know who I'm speaking to, but you're walking around with a load on your back. You're walking around with the guilt of sin, of shame, with the things you have done, and you feel dirty. You feel inadequate. You're walking around with the scars of abuse from your childhood. You're walking around with the scars of rejection. You're walking around with the scars of your own actions. And you wonder if anyone can love you. I'm here to tell you, you're part of the heavy laden. You're part of those that labor. And Jesus says to come unto him. Come with your burdens. Come with the pains of your labors. He says you will find rest for your soul. You cannot get that load taken off on your own. You cannot have that labor taken from you on your own. The only one that can take that burden, that can give you rest for your soul, is Jesus Christ. I appeal to you, those that are listening, come. Come unto him, those that labor and are heavy laden, and you will find rest for your souls. I would like to pray in closing for all those that are listening and for this nation. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you, dear God, that you are a God that is not afar off, but who cares for us and who has come very near to us. You so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. My God, I pray by your Holy Spirit that this word would have touched some heart and some soul. I pray that one that is heavy laden, who are weighed down with their labors and the cares of this life, would come to you and lay their cares upon you and take up your yoke, that yoke that is easy, that yoke that is light, and truly find rest for their souls. Pray, dear God, that they will not be so ashamed that they think that you will reject them, dear God. But those that come to you, you will in no wise cast out, dear God. It is why you came. It is why you suffered on the cross and died. But it's why you rose again 3 days later. And you sit at the right hand of the Father making intercession on our behalf, dear God. You love us. And so I pray that some heart, some soul will come to know you as Lord and receive that rest. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Because he